And welcome in to another edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you. Happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Glad that you've taken time to join us here on this Monday morning. Joe Rex Road, what's going on, man? How we doing?
I'm doing all right. Kind of disappointed in the NFL games this last weekend, but you know, I guess the one good one was in Kansas City, as it turned out.
Yeah, who would have thought that the one that had the biggest line heading into it would turn out to be maybe the best game of the entire weekend? Now, some unforeseen circumstances played into that as well, but certainly a crazy game in Kansas City yesterday. Ryan Porth, how are you? How did you like the games this weekend?
For the most part, they were pretty boring. Going to be honest, NFL Divisional Weekend is always my favorite weekend of the NFL season because you have the top teams in the NFL and you've got these teams coming off big wins on Wild Card Weekend, and it usually results in a lot of unpredictable finishes and great games, and I thought this weekend was kind of a dud with the four games.
Yeah, I thought so too. I mean, I thought yesterday was better than Saturday. I mean, the Packers pretty much took care of business against the Rams for the most part in that game. Bills and Ravens, it was okay. But I thought yesterday was a little bit better, obviously, like Joe said, with the Chiefs and the Browns. And, you know, I thought Tampa Bay-New Orleans was a pretty good game for the most part. The turnovers at the end got away from New Orleans. But all in all, I would agree. Kind of a rough start to divisional weekend, and it got a little bit better yesterday, but not what I expected and hoped for heading into it. So we'll continue to talk about that as we go through the segment here. The Preds, also a big weekend, another win against Columbus. They've started off 2-0. They win 5-2 on Saturday night. UC Soros, a huge night in net, and Philip Forsberg takes over again in the third period. Another great goal for the Predators, and they just coast to a 5-2 win in the third period. Some big offense at the end of the game. So a hot start for the Nashville Predators, Joe Rex Road.
Yeah, and another, you know, more fight back. Like you said, you know, big third period. Cunning gets another one.
Yeah.
So he's got a couple. Forsberg's got a couple. Soros, I think, has been just tremendous. There was some more scrambles in front of the net with a little help from his friends again also. So it's like, you know, the games were kind of similar to each other there. But you know, to beat that team twice, that's the thing. I mean, it's and again, I thought about it after the first game, and it's almost like these mini – little play-ins, you know, the whole thing, because it's just these are just the teams you're competing with to get in the postseason. I think Nashville and Columbus, you know, are probably going to be pretty close in the standings here. So you get a couple right away like that, that's big.
Yeah, it was big. And like you said, Soros, he's made 71 of 74 saves so far through the first two games. So doing very well. And they got another big test coming up tonight against Carolina. These next two against Carolina are going to be interesting because Carolina's been a team for the last couple of years, and already so far this year, they've possessed the puck a lot, and they've been able to generate a lot of offensive zone time and a lot of pressure. So I'm interested to see how the Predators defensively handle that. I'm interested to see what the goalie situation looks like. Like, do you go Soros tonight, Rene tomorrow? Do you go Rene tonight, Soros tomorrow? It's going to be fascinating to see how this plays out. But I think, as good as I think Columbus is, I think a much bigger test for the Predators over the next couple of nights against Carolina.
Yeah, and this is, you know, this is one of the teams that, like, to me would be a no-brainer to get in the postseason out of this division this year. So now it's like you're taking a little bit of a step up and proving yourself here. So, and that's a great question on goalie, you know, because – I would think that you'd keep the guy rolling who's rolling and then, you know, use your backup in the back-to-back, but I guess I could see it the other way around.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Like, it's if you're John Hines, you've got to factor in, you know, how well Soros is playing so far, and also, you know, this would be, what, his third game since Thursday? So that's a lot in that amount of time. So going to be interesting to see how the Predators handle that, and we've got a lot to get to with the Predators today on the show, including – another edition of Predators Pick the Click coming up at 8:45, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. We'll have your chance to call in and guess the goal scorer for tonight's game. We had Julie call in last Thursday and guess correctly for the goal scorer. So we're one for one so far on Predators Pick to Click. We'll have that for you a little bit later in the show. Also be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2 and Darren McFarland, host of Darren, Donick, and Chase later in the program as well. So a lot to get to here on today's show. Joe, let's start with the Bucks and the Saints last night. A back-and-forth game, turnovers involved. I thought two really good defensive performances for the most part. And the Buccaneers able to edge it out at the end. They win 30-20 and send Tom Brady to his 14th conference championship game. And the reports out there are that that is it for Drew Brees. And that will be the last game that he plays as a member of the Saints. Now, he didn't commit to that last night. He was asked about it in the post game and said that he's going to take some time to make a decision. But if this is it for Drew Brees, number one, Joe Rextro, do you think it's time? And if so, I mean, obviously, but the legacy speaks for itself. But you finished, you know, number one in passing yards, number one in completions, number two, I think, right now in touchdowns all time in league history. What will you remember about Drew Brees as a quarterback if this is it for him?
Yeah, just a great player and great representative of the league. And I think it's got to be it. And you're right, Robbie. That game, it was a good game. And actually, I mean, the Saints were in good shape. They're driving and up a touchdown. And he was, I mean, he's still capable of, you know, kind of dinking you down the field and making some nice throws. And he was playing pretty well. They're up a touchdown, and Jared Cook fumbles, and that totally changed the game. But, man, when he's put in a position of having to push the ball down the field at all, it's tough right now. I mean, I think for him, of those three, you know, especially real old guys, you know, including Rivers and, of course, Brady, I'd say he's the one who's the clearly, I guess, most done. So it's too bad because, you know, they've had some great teams the last few years, and obviously they got totally hosed in the title game 2 years ago against the Rams. Yeah. I mean, just an absolutely incomprehensible blown call there. Or maybe he has another ring there, but it's also too bad because that's a good – I mean, their defense is Super Bowl worthy. And I'll tell you what, Lattimore almost had Brady going back the other way. And then, you know, it might be a totally different result. I mean, he has Brady's pick six coming the other way. Doesn't quite pull it off. But, Brees is – I don't think Brees – you know, he never had an MVP, and I don't think Brees is going to be remembered at the same level of Brady – Manning and then go back before them, Elway and some of these other Rodgers, some of these other top quarterbacks. I mean, I could be wrong, but I even though he has those numbers you mentioned, you know, I think he's still a peg below the top tier. But man, awfully good. And talk about a guy who this is a guy who came out of college and it was like, nah, it's kind of like Russell Wilson, too short, you know, not a big enough arm. And he shows what you can do when you're accurate and, you know, when you're smart and an all-around just hell of a quarterback.
Well, it's also one of those things that you look at in terms of the history, not only of the NFL, but of really sports in general. I think Joe Buck brought this up on the broadcast yesterday. And you start talking about, like, all-time free agent signings. Drew Brees going to New Orleans. I don't know exactly where it ranks, but it's got to be close to the top. I mean, just going from San Diego – you know, taking the physical with the Dolphins and that not working out with Nick Saban and company and ending up in New Orleans, that's got to be one of the greatest free agent signings that I can ever remember.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, if you're a Tennessee or just any other college football fan except Alabama, you go back to that. What if Saban had been able to hook up with Brees in that offseason? And where would things be right now? Who knows? I mean, Saban may never have come back to college football, you know. He got Dante Culpepper, you know, too late in his career instead, and he quickly was like, yeah, I'll just go back and get the best players every year at Alabama. So who knows how things may have changed had it been Drew to Miami. But, yeah, free agent signings, boy, that's got to be one of the big quarterback acquisitions mid-career of all time. There may be more coming. We'll get into that later, too.
Yeah, absolutely, we will. Got a lot to get to on today's show. Another conference championship game for Tom Brady, Joe Rexroad. His 14th, obviously his first in the NFC. The stat line wasn't great yesterday. He finished with 199 yards, a couple touchdowns. And it wasn't like he was just mowing the Saints down on offense. But impressive, nonetheless, that Tom Brady in his first year has what had been really a dumpster fire of a franchise for a long time, just kind of stuck in the mud, already in his first year has got them into the NFC title game. Pretty impressive what Brady and the Bucs have been able to do. Again, I think their defense is the story that you take away from yesterday. But to, for him to come in the first year and then to be in the NFC title game, pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, it's still – he's had a good year. He's been red hot lately. I mean, he's certainly – I mean, he's got more in the tank than Breeze, you know. I don't think there's any question about that. There was an interesting – Stephen Holder, my colleague, you know, covers the Colts for The Athletic. He put out on Twitter last night, you can call this a hot take if you want, but you know, basically he said, you know, I think Rivers is the best of those three old guys. Now, I thought that was interesting. I think it's close. I still think Brady, you know, throws the ball downfield better.
I was about to say, I don't think it's particularly close.
But Rivers did have ridiculous, you know, numbers and efficiency and all that. Brady is, he throws it better downfield, but man, he's almost as prone to the bad throw too as Rivers. Not quite. I'd give the edge to Brady. I'd also give a huge, I mean, Holder's point is look who Rivers threw to this year. And he's right. I mean, they were banged up and not great. And this has got to be the best collection around Brady that he's ever had, right? Especially when you think about what Brate is as a weapon, you know, Miller, you know, I know Brown got hurt last night, but it's an all around real nice collection, but hey, they ran the ball. They played defense. He made enough good throws for them to get it done. And I mean, they got a shot. Although I think that your guys are going to handle the business this weekend.
We'll see. I am of all the matchups that could have been in the NFC title game the entire time, this was the one I was the most nervous about. So we will see what happens. I was pulling hard for the New Orleans Saints yesterday, and Joe Rexroad, that did not work out for me at all.
Well, I understand the trepidation, but man, I mean, you look at that Bucs defense, you have to be able to throw it downfield, you know, and if you can, you will have success. Well, Aaron Rodgers can do that a little bit better than Drew Brees these days.
Yeah, I would say that's probably a fair statement. When we come back, we'll continue to look around the NFL this weekend. Which team was the most impressive? Who should be the Super Bowl favorite right now in the NFL? We'll discuss that when we come back. Get your reaction as well on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 1025, The Game.
Rodgers on the fake, looking, pumping, Rodgers running, and he's in! Touchdown, Green Bay!
So happy for our guys. Just thinking about what we've been through got me emotional with the crowd out there today.
Jackson fires, and that will be intercepted in the end zone by Johnson. Karen Johnson, and only Jackson can stop him now. Too late to the end zone. Touchdown.
What a great environment. I know, you know, again, all of our fans couldn't be in the building, but, you know, it was loud. Just great experience, great atmosphere. Congrats to all the Bills fans out there.
Oh, there is a play. Henny rolling out, throws it. Hill! And the Chiefs are heading to the AFC Championship.
Obviously, you never want to see a guy like Patrick go down. Just went in there and try to take what the defense gave me and make some plays while doing that.
Breeze able to step into this one. This one's up for grabs and picked. Intercepted by Mike Edwards.
I'll answer this question one time, and that is that I'm going to give myself an opportunity to, you know, think about the season, think about a lot of things, just like I did last year, and make a decision.
The matchups are set in the NFL for conference championship weekend. The divisional round is over, and man, we've got some doozies coming up on conference weekend. Joe Rexroad, as you look back to the divisional round, and think about the Packers getting past the Rams, the Bills at home. They're back in the conference title game. They knock down the Ravens. The Chiefs, they lose Patrick Mahomes. Chad Henne comes in, makes some big plays towards the end of the game, and they hold off the Cleveland Browns, and then Brady and the Bucs last night against the Saints get it done. to take down New Orleans and move ahead to conference championship weekend. Which team had the most impressive weekend, in your opinion?
Well, it was the week, you know, it was the weekend of the quarterback mishap. When you think about everything, you know, obviously Breeze all of a sudden just turned it over left and right yesterday. The Chiefs running Patrick Mahomes when he had already hurt his toe, you know, and it was kind of limping around.
Yeah.
I mean, what? Come on, you guys have plenty of other cards in the deck there to not have to go there. So you almost lose there. And then Lamar Jackson, I mean, you know, that game, I didn't expect it to be that defensively dominated, but it was, I thought it was a good game. And, you know, he's got Hollywood Brown crossing on the play before that. And if he's got a blitz in his face and he just can't quite get it to him, or else that's 10-10. And who knows from there, you know, instead, just makes the brutal mistake. You know, I don't know if he didn't know the coverage or, you know, that he just got baited, but obviously that pick six, then the game is over for you. So most impressive weekend. I mean, I think I'd go with the Packers, you know, I mean, because I mean, they didn't really sweat it too much. That is the number one defense in the NFL. I do think that Aaron Donald was clearly banged up. He just didn't look all that effective to me. And, you know, you got ribs doing the stuff he normally does. I can see how that would affect it, but I just thought that was an all around really impressive performance by them. I'd probably go Bucks after that. You know, I think the two NFC teams that are playing this week, both, you know, look good, look dangerous. I mean, that was a good job of persevering by the Bucks. And again, I mean, that strip of Jared Cook, I think changed the game there for them. Four turnovers, you know, what were they? I think they were -4 in the two losses of the Saints. They're +4 yesterday. And that's going to win you football games in the playoffs or at any time of year.
Yeah, man, it certainly was a huge factor in that game yesterday. And the Browns-Chiefs game was pretty crazy because obviously, like you said, I mean, you're moving along. You're humming along well if you're Kansas City offensively. I mean, that game wasn't going to be close. And all of a sudden, you're running Patrick Mahomes on an option play when, like you said, he had already been hurt earlier in that game. I couldn't believe what Andy Reid was doing there. And then he's out, and Chad Henne comes in, and you think to yourself, man, could the Browns come back and pull this off? But they get the ball back. Kevin Stefanski decides to punt the ball, and the Chiefs get the ball back. And I thought, like, the play calling there from Andy Reid, at times I was blown away with how aggressive that he was being with Chad Henne back there. I mean, there was a play, I think it was a second down play, where they drop back and he just gets sacked on the play. And I'm like, man, what are y'all doing out there? But yeah. Then, of course, he comes through. He's got the big scramble on third down, gets it to 4th and inches. And that play call for Tyreek Hill was just brilliant. You get him lined up one-on-one. There's not very many people that are going to be able to cover him on that type of route. And I thought it was just brilliant execution by Chad Henne and Tyreek Hill in that play. And obviously very brave play calling by Andy Reid. Like we talked about last week, maybe whether or not Mike Vrabel should have been more aggressive in the game against Baltimore. Nobody was going to accuse Andy Reid yesterday of not being aggressive.
Yeah. And this is after Chad Henne. I mean, we make the joke about arm punting. That was literally an arm punt.
That was awful.
You could see the safety waiting for about 3 seconds for the ball in the end zone. So after that play, you go that aggressive with it. And man, that Henne scramble, was just big time. I mean, that, you know, that's the funny thing is Andy Reid set himself up to just be killed today because one, we just talked about the Mahomes run. But like you said, they get sacked, and then you've got them back there again. I mean, Henne, that scramble saved him. And even then, it was funny to watch that play with Romo saying what I'm sure everyone thought. Yeah, there's no way they're running this play. Right. They are not running a play. And then, of course, when they run it, Romo just about lost it and jumped out of the booth. He was freaking out, man. But, hey, you know what? I would rather my coach – go down being aggressive, you know. I know it's easy to say when that stuff works, but it's interesting that you brought up the Vrabel comparison because, you know, obviously that's what's going to be remembered about this year's loss is the not being aggressive late in the game And hey, Andy Reid's been to this rodeo enough times. He's like, you know what? Let's just go for it. So he got it done. That was big time to trust him like that.
And obviously, you never know exactly what's going to happen with concussion protocol, but all indications are in the post-game press conference yesterday by Andy Reid that Patrick Mahomes looks like he's going to be good to go for conference championship game weekend. So, again, it's concussion protocol. You don't know exactly what's going to happen there, but it looks like Mahomes could be available for Kansas City against the Bills. And the lines right now still are kind of reflect that way on the FanDuel Sportsbook. The Chiefs still the favorite to win the Super Bowl. Let's go to our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. Now that we're down to the final four in the NFL, who would be your pick to win the Super Bowl? The Bills, the Chiefs, the Bucks, or the Packers? Right now, very early in the voting. 87 votes are in. 50% going with the Green Bay Packers so far. 21% say the Chiefs, 20% with the Bills, and only 9% with Tom Brady and the Buccaneers right now. So the Packers, Joe Rexroth, off to an early lead in this competition.
Yeah, look, it'd be great to see a good game this weekend. I mean, I think there's a chance, but I think the Packers just they look to be on a mission right now. They're really playing well. And like you said, I mean, if Mahomes doesn't go down, the Browns just look to have zero chance of stopping the Chiefs. They were toying with them, with Mahomes. So, that's to me, the Chiefs are the favorite, provided you're right about Mahomes. I mean, it's still a day-to-day thing, and obviously he's going to get tested every day. And to me, if he's not ready right now, how could you say, if you're Andy Reid, how could you be that confident,
I don't know, but he was.
Yeah. The way it goes is, if he had a concussion yesterday, then he can't play today, So, guys recover at different rates, but hopefully he's good. If he isn't, then I think the Bills would win that game going away, and I'm not counting the Bills out. I think the Bills have a chance. What I don't like about the Bills is, unlike the Browns and unlike, say, the Titans or Ravens, all those teams could at least rob a couple possessions from the Chiefs by possessing the ball, and the Bills don't even pretend that they care about running the football,
Right.
And that's just, if it's full throttle Chiefs, I just don't know that the way the Bills play is going to work out.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. It's almost like Josh Allen is their running game. He'll just scramble off, and that's how they run the ball. I think it's an interesting matchup. Obviously, if Mahomes isn't in there, you have to give the edge to the Bills. But if he is, it's slightly to the Chiefs, but I really like the Bills. I think defensively they're playing really well right now. They make just enough plays offensively. Stephon Diggs continues to be very, very good. So I'm excited about conference championship weekend. I think we've got two really, really good matchups in both conferences. I hear what people are saying about the Packers, and they look like they're on a mission right now, and they've certainly looked great. The one time they looked really bad this year was against the Bucs. They got hammered 38-10 in that game, and Rodgers was awful in that game. So, look, it's different. It's obviously the Packers are a lot better now than they were then. You're at home. It's at Lambeau. I looked at the forecast. Right now it's expected to be 21 degrees and snowing on Sunday, so that's a factor as well. But I think it's going to be a pretty exciting conference championship weekend.
I really hope with as bad as these games were over divisional weekend, they left a lot to be desired. I really hope Sunday turns out to be what we think it is. I could see one or both games even going to overtime. These are going to be instant classic championship games, or at least I hope so, because it certainly on paper looks to be that way.
I don't know, man. It's the Chiefs thing to me. You watching them yesterday, and they might just blow out two teams here. If they play their best, they might blow. I hear you on the Bills playing good defense, but do they stop that offense? I feel like the Chiefs, if Mahomes is good, and that's also his toe too. That's something to keep an eye on, because it limited, man, it was a reminder during that game, which it's like you said, I mean, if he doesn't go down, they win that game by 20, I think. They're just like, what do you do with that offense? They might roll two people here in a row. I'd like to be wrong. I hope I'm wrong.
Oh, they could. I mean, look, the tools absolutely are there. I know this. Like, if Mahomes is able to go, if Andy Reid calls another design run for him the rest of these playoffs, somebody in Kansas City should throw a cheeseburger at the back of his head from the crowd. I mean, how he was continuing to do that yesterday was just mind-boggling to me.
There's just no need for it.
No, you've got enough weapons. You can. I promise you, you can find a way to move the ball down the field without Patrick Mahomes having to run the ball for you. When we come back, it was made official very shortly after we got off the air on Friday with Arthur Smith and Atlanta. What do we make of that fit? What do we make of that decision by Arthur Smith? And was it the right one? We'll discuss that when we come back. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's a move that we have been anticipating for a long time, and it was made official this past weekend. Arthur Smith, no longer the offensive coordinator with the Tennessee Titans. He's accepted the head coaching position with the Atlanta Falcons, and that happened shortly after we got off the air on Friday, Joe, and there were reports that morning that it was going to happen, and we discussed it a little bit. But now that it's official and that Arthur Smith has taken the head coaching job with the Atlanta Falcons, what's your reaction to it? Do you think it was the right move for Arthur Smith based on Atlanta's roster and where they are right now from a competitive standpoint, and quite frankly, where they are at the quarterback position with Matt Ryan?
Well, look, I mean, I think anyone gets a chance to be a head coach in NFL, it's hard to turn it down. And certainly there are worse situations than this one. So they've got cap issues for sure. And they've got decisions to make, you know, at quarterback. I mean, are you going to still draft someone and then have Matt Ryan around as the bridge guy? Are you committing to him? That I doubt. Are you trying to move him, get something for him? You know, like about a $40 million cap hit coming up here for him. And are you? I know that talking to people in Atlanta over the weekend, the feeling is if Justin Fields is there at four and the Falcons don't draft him, that stadium may burn. So I mean, people are hell bent on getting, you know, Justin Fields in there. I mean, I think ownership is a huge deal. We're going to talk about Deshaun Watson and that ownership situation, which is just a dumpster fire. It's like two dumpster fires in one.
Yeah.
You know, Arthur Blank is, by all accounts, that's a good ownership situation. And, you know, you have the number four pick. You have some talent. Again, you got cap issues. But I don't think that they're, you know, if you have a good offseason to set yourself up, you could have success there. You could have long-term success there. And we talked about this last week, but we just saw it again yesterday. The Saints are about to be in a rebuild situation.
Yeah,
I just don't think Jameis Winston, you just plug him in and you feel great about things.
Although a great pass by him yesterday.
That was a nice pass, and Taysom Hill probably would have botched that. So good job, Jameis. You know, the Bucs. They don't have that. I mean, their window isn't – like Brady's doing fine, but it's not a long time here. So, all of a sudden, you could – that division could be really up for grabs soon. So, I think it's a nice all-around situation for Arthur Smith.
Well, it's interesting that you've brought up the ownership, and that's been a consistent theme from you. And I looked at the statement that Arthur Smith came out with after he signed the contract, and – you know, a lot of these statements sometimes are just, you know, fluff, and they just say things to fill out a statement. And that's largely what this one was. But the first thing that Arthur Smith said was, quote, "The Falcons organization stood out to us in this process primarily due to the leadership and support from the top in Arthur Blank." And that is really exactly what you've been talking about, Joe Rexroad, is just the perception around the league is that Arthur Blank, in terms of owners, he's near the top in terms of how he does things, how he runs his organization. And I thought it was interesting that Arthur Smith right off the top said, you know what, the main reason that the Falcons stood out was the ownership in Arthur Blank.
hey, I mean, kiss up to the guy signing the checks right away.
It's very good.
I mean, get right in there, man. But yeah, no, I mean, I think that's where that job is more attractive than some that look better, you know, on paper because of the quarterback situation. I mean, I still think the Chargers job looked pretty amazing, but no, this is a good deal. And obviously his family's from around here too. I mean, he has roots in the Southeast. He's from Memphis. So, I mean, close to home and all that stuff too. So speaking of that, by the way, I mean, talk about like all of Nashville media. I'm assuming you saw this and maybe you reacted to it. I don't know, but Bomani Jones from ESPN.
Oh yeah.
Had a tweet about Arthur Smith that just got Nashville media just up in arms. I'm going to see if I can find the actual tweet from Bomani Jones. And it was an uninformed tweet. Although I'm sort of down the middle more on this. Oh yeah. Here's the tweet. Okay. From Bomani Jones, interesting about Arthur Smith. He's fine. I think he meant to say he's done a good job running the Titans offense. But just about every gig he had before becoming OC screamed out, you know who my dad is? Then he says, I didn't know who his dad was until 2 days ago, by the way. So people freaked out on him. I mean, like, I would say, you know, Nashville media, sometimes, you know, like the world's on fire, pretend it isn't happening, you know, but people got all over Bomani Jones on this one. And I think he's wrong. I don't understand what he means. Like, why does every gig scream, you know, my dad is? Most of his gigs were like, you know, we're like quality control.
Like quality control. Like, that's my dude. Yeah. You know, my dad is? Make me the quality control coach.
I have seen, it's interesting, there's some people, you know, others, some debating on Twitter back and forth, people saying, well, why do you think he survived all these coaching staffs? And I'm like, so you really think that, like, Malarkey and Wisenhunt are all like, oh, his dad's Fred Smith, we better keep this guy around, you know? I don't know. I mean, that's just kind of stupid. Now, I will say this. The one thing about all those jobs with Arthur Smith and all those years is, you know, it's hard to be in coaching because there are those years it's hard to make it. And a big reason is, as coaches will tell you, and Matt LaFleur has been through this and so many people, you have those years where you're like, you know, you're like the grunt and you're making nothing and you're working every hour of every day. And it's how long can you go financially and stick it out? You know,
yeah.
I mean, that's a part of this. Even if you go the college route, you go the grad route and all this stuff, then can you get a full-time gig? Are you an intern for a while, an analyst? You know, like guys like Butch Jones can be an analyst because they have millions that Tennessee are paying them.
Right.
But, I mean, if you're Arthur Smith and you have your situation, you could probably do more years that way, right? You're probably not just eating ramen noodles every night. So I will say that that aspect of it probably made it easier to do what he did. But by all accounts, he earned everything. He worked his butt off, and the reason he – survived regime after regime is that he impressed people with what he was doing. And I think, frankly, this is funny because now that he's a head coach, we're going to see so many Fred Smith stories now.
Oh, yeah.
I tried to do one when he got the OC job, and all I could get was Fred emailing me some answers. So it didn't work out. But there's going to be
– He didn't FedEx you the answer? That's disappointing.
God, good point. That would have at least been kind of cool, you know? But there's going to be a lot of Fred Smith. And like Bomani Jones said, I didn't know who his dad was. Well, the whole NFL is about to find out about this because it's, I mean, obviously it's an irresistible story. But I do think that what people are going to find is I think that this is what's part of what's driven him. Probably a lot of people in his life saying, yeah, okay, rich kid. Yeah, why don't you go buy an island? And he's like, screw you. I'm going to work harder than you and prove myself. And, so it's interesting, but yeah, I think that was off the mark by Bomani Jones. I was just some of the anger from people. I'm like, are you guys like related to Arthur Smith? I mean, you know, he's a big boy. He's going to hear more of this crap moving forward. It's part of the deal.
Well,
but I think he's obviously proven himself.
Absolutely. The thing that kind of ticked me off about that tweet is that it was so uninformed and just kind of out of nowhere for Bomani Jones to go there, and I was like, dude, this is just a slap in the face to Arthur Smith, who's worked his tail off for a number of years to get an opportunity like this, and to just kind of gloss over all of that and just say that a lot of it is because of his dad and making it sound like Art is trying to get all these jobs because of his dad. I was kind of ticked off by that tweet. I was.
Yeah, it's uninformed. I agree. And it's, you know, again, it's like, why are those, I suppose in every organization, I guess some of these jobs you could say are just throwaway jobs or whatever, but they would tell you that's not the case. They would tell you that those people are the ones who do so much of the legwork, you know, and just ridiculous hours with, you know, a lot of thankless tasks. So why are those jobs, you know who my dad is, jobs? Doesn't really make sense.
And then, you know, it came out last night after the game was over between the Saints and the Buccaneers, the Chargers announcing that defensive coordinator Brandon Staley set to become their new head coach. And then the Detroit Lions, baby, Dan Campbell coming in there as their new head coach, former New Orleans assistant head coach and tight ends coach. So after Arthur Smith is done, I knew that you were going to have something to say about Dan Campbell coming in there. The Chargers and Lions filling their post again. And the immediate thought I had when Dan Campbell was announced as their new head coach was, all right, good luck, buddy. Have fun going back to New Orleans here in about 2 years.
I mean, it's just, it's so classic Lions. I mean, Eric Bieniemy's out there still. Yeah. Brian Daboll's out there still. But no, let's get the Saints tight ends coach because Taysom Hill's so awesome. He does everything, man. I mean, it's just, this guy is just destined to be lionized probably right away.
I've heard this thrown out there, and you mentioned Bieniemy still being out there, Daboll still being out there. Are teams just too impatient when it comes to their head coaching search? Like, if you're a part of a staff and you're making a deep playoff run, does that deter people from kind of waiting around and being able to talk to you and bringing in for your head coaching job? Like, is that why you think Bieniemy and Daboll are still out there and that teams haven't waited on them? Because I saw that theory tossed out there yesterday. I think it was by Terry McCormick from Titan Insider that, you know, maybe the best deterrent from getting people to take people away from your staff is to make deep runs, because it seems like teams may have some impatience on their hand. Like, I can't believe that, you know, the Lions have gone ahead and made their hire when Bieniemy's still out there and Daboll's still out there.
Well, but no, but that doesn't make sense, because the Lions had already made that hire and they had no idea they were going to lose yesterday.
That's true.
I mean, they, for all they knew, the Saints were going to go all the way to the Super Bowl, but they had it locked up. You can still interview people and know who you're going to hire. I mean, if anybody's not hiring those guys because of that, they're idiots.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, they're just flat out idiots. So I don't know. I mean, everybody knew Campbell was doing the Lions before they lost yesterday anyway. That just became official afterwards. So now that would be incredibly stupid. I can't even – I mean, but there's a lot of stupid in this league. We know this.
Oh, there is. And apparently Bieniemy's still in the mix for that Houston Texans job, which still – I mean, that just looks really attractive right now.
Oh, boy. Yeah. You got to figure out which quarterback you will have in place of Deshaun Watson now.
It's going to be amazing. We'll get to that a little bit later in the show. When we come back, the Atlanta Falcons have already snatched one coordinator away from the Tennessee Titans. Could they take another former coordinator away from the Titans as well? We'll discuss that when we come back. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth are with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Corey Curtis from News 2 will join us later in the program around 8 o'clock. We'll get into the latest with the Titans and the NFL with him. And then Darren McFarland, host of Darren, Donick, and Chase. Also, Preds pre- and post-game host will join us at 9 o'clock. A big weekend for the Predators and a tough slate coming up this week. So we'll look ahead to that with Darren as well coming up at 9. So a lot to get to today here on the show.
Also, next hour,
yes,
you need to be listening.
That is true.
You can potentially win tickets to tonight's Preds game against the Carolina Hurricanes with a cue to call. So be listening next hour for that chance.
You can listen for that chance. And as we know, very limited opportunities to get inside the building right now at Bridgestone Arena to watch the Predators in person. So make sure you're listening for that cue to call in the next hour. Joe Rexroad, we've talked about Arthur Smith and his decision to become the next head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. But there was another very interesting report over the weekend regarding another former Titans coordinator, and that is Dean Pease. This coming from Jason Lockenfora that says, quote, continue to hear that longtime top NFL defensive coordinator Dean Pease, who retired but coached with Arthur Smith in Tennessee, will be joining Arthur Smith's new staff in Atlanta in some capacity. And Joe, as you can imagine, when that tweet went out, Titans fans were in an uproar that Dean Pease could be joining Arthur Smith in Atlanta rather than coming back and joining the Titans here in Tennessee with all the struggles that the Titans had on that ball, on that side of the ball defensively. Number one, do you think that Dean Pease should consider going to Atlanta and joining Arthur Smith's staff? And if that happens, how big of a loss is that for the Titans and Mike Vrabel if they're not the ones that are able to bring him back into the fold?
Well, first, let's back it up to the messenger here. Don't want to kill the messenger, but Jason LaCanfora, I don't know Jason. I know that he's got a mixed track record of sourcing and news.
Still Titans waiting on John Bon Jovi.
Right. Titans fans know him well for the John Bon Jovi's going to buy the Titans report, which, of course, I took the opportunity to make a pun out of that and said the Titans fans will be shot through the heart if Dean Pease goes to the Falcons. Thank you. Thank you. I'm taking a bow right now.
Oh, well done.
Yes. So, grain of salt there. You know, I don't think LaCanfora is out there just throwing stuff at the wall left and right. I mean, frankly, I don't hear him too often, you know, breaking news, but he is Baltimore-based. So, you know, you can see how maybe he might have an inkling on something like this. You know, I thought Gentry Estes from the Tennessean wrote a good column about this. And the point being, you know, Vrabel should be open to change and new ideas and not married to even to this scheme at this point. And so, you know, this is essentially like, this doesn't have to be the biggest deal in the world. I do think it's an interesting, like, what does it say if this happens? It's kind of, that's the first thing I thought of, you know, like, first of all, Dean Pease, if he actually does come back after a year, that's a bit stunning still to me. I know that he has said publicly that, you know, he missed it and stuff. In fact, Gentry got him last year and he said something along those lines, but still, I mean, he had to get lured out of retirement by Vrabel to come back. And then he goes into retirement this awful COVID year. You know, I have my doubts that he's actually going to be on an NFL sideline next fall. If he is, what does that mean? You know, that it would be there instead of here. Maybe it means that Vrabel is just like, hey, Dean, love you, but, you know, like, we got to move on. Or does it mean like Dean just didn't want to work for Vrabel anymore? I mean, some people will take it there, you know, like, I don't know, but, I don't think it's, I guess, like, Titans fans to me shouldn't be, you know, like, depressed for months if this happens. You know, the bottom line is their coach has got to figure things out. And I agree. I think that you should have an open mind all the way around on trying to fix this defense.
I think you should too. I do think Titans fans, like, obviously, if you asked them who their first pick would be to come in and be the DC, Dean Pease is going to be at the top of a lot of those lists. I mean, you know, we talked about, you know, Wade Phillips the other day. He put out a tweet saying he's available. He's ready to go win. A lot of Titans fans were going crazy on Twitter on Friday about Wade Phillips and bringing him back in. But I think if you took a poll for Titans fans, Dean Pease would be at the top of their list. And it is interesting. Like, obviously, there's familiarity here. And if he is truly interested in coming back and being a part of things again in the NFL, you would think, given the way things went for the Titans last year and the familiarity that he has with his staff and with this personnel group, that this would be a pretty natural fit for him. And if it doesn't happen, if he is interested and he goes with Arthur Smith to a defense in Atlanta that's, I mean, it's not pretty either with that side of the ball for the Falcons either. Still a lot of the work to do on that side of the ball in Atlanta as well. I do think that's interesting. I do think if he goes back, and again, this report from LaCanfora, it doesn't say defensive coordinator. It says, you know, expects him maybe to be a part of the staff in some capacity. So it's not like he's coming in and for sure being the DC. Although if I'm Dean Pease, I'm not sure I'm coming out of retirement if I'm not going to be the defensive coordinator at that point. So still a lot to be seen on that front. But I do think it would be interesting that if he comes back and he does want to get back in the game and he does want to be a DC, to choose Atlanta over the Titans, provided that the Titans were interested, which we don't know, of course, right now, would be very interesting to me.
Yeah, I mean, again, that's the thing. And it's not like Vrabel was ever going to say, yeah, guys, look, I didn't want Dean anymore, okay? Sorry. So thanks, Dean. I mean, no one's going to say that.
Right.
It's, you can't assume that this is like him choosing between Vrabel and Arthur Smith, and he had an offer to come back to either place. you know, if you're Dean Pete, and if it is, I mean, look, let's put Dean Pease as D coordinator of this defense. Do I think it would have been better? Sure. I think, you know, he's an experienced coordinator. He's good at getting, you know, getting the most out of his talent, all these things. He knows these players well. They would have been better. Would they have been a good defense this year? I have my serious doubts about that. I have serious doubts about that, given that they had zero ability to generate pass rush without sending defensive backs, you know, on blitzes. And, you know, of course, last year he schemed up a lot of pressure. But still, I mean, I think this would have been a bad defense without him. So, I mean, you have to look at from his perspective, the attractiveness of the job based on the personnel too. Now, to your point, Robbie, what would be so attractive about Atlanta's situation? I mean, you know, they have cap issues and they're already a bad defense. So I don't know, but I just think that probably too much will be made of this if it does happen. And the bottom line is, you know, Vrabel needs to find a good one. There are good candidates out there and maybe different schemes or tweaks to the scheme and move forward.
And it's interesting. I mean, we brought this up a couple of times now in terms of the scheme the Titans run defensively and just what it looks like stylistically. And Adam Kaplan from SiriusXM was on with us a couple of weeks ago and said, look, like if you're Mike Vrabel and this Titans staff, I know that's what you're comfortable with running the 3-4, and that's what Vrabel grew up in and obviously played a lot in the NFL in his career, and that's what they've run since he's been here with the Titans. But you shouldn't be married to it. Like, you should be able to open yourself up and adapt and be willing maybe to change your base defense and to change your personnel groupings to maybe something different. And I don't know. I'm going to be interested to see if Vrabel is even open to that. I'm not saying that that's absolutely the route that the Titans should go and they should change things up and they should run a different base defense and they should run different personnel groupings out there. But I think it just all boils down to Vrabel and his willingness to adapt. I think that's going to be a big story of this offseason because, to me, if you come back in next year and you're running the same scheme defensively and Shane Bowen is still basically the defensive coordinator, whether it's in name or not in name next year, to me, if I'm a Titans fan and I see what just happened on that side of the ball and there's been almost zero adaptation and you come back just saying, all right, well, we'll just see if we can get better players next year and see how much that helps. That would be concerning to me. I think this is an opportunity for Vrabel and this Titans staff to really do some introspection this offseason, see what's worked, see what hasn't worked, and be willing to adjust. I think adaptation is going to be a key word and key phrase for this group over the offseason. And if that doesn't happen, to me, I'm very concerned about that if I'm a Titans fan.
Yeah, well, I'll be shocked if it's that, if it's you know, Shane Bowen, named or unnamed. I mean, I think there's going to be – I think we're going to see new people on staff. I don't know about the scheme. I mean, in 3 years with this defense, they've had two good years and they've had one bad year. Was last year an indictment of the scheme? I don't think so. I think it was an indictment of the personnel, but also of the absence of someone to tie it all together as Dean Pease had done. That said, I mean, why not be open to change that? I mean, if you bring in someone from the outside, that D coordinator is probably going to have his own system or at least want to do some different things within yours. And the whole idea is take your talent and maximize it and put them in the best position. And I think the Titans didn't have the coordination last year to maximize what they had. They still, I don't think, had enough to be very good. So I'm still, like, if you rank all the things that you need to do to fix it, I'm still putting at the top of the list, go get pass rushers, you know, draft, free agent, all that. But there are players on this defense who took a step back and should not be where they took their step back to. They should be back where they were before last season, and that's where I think the DC comes in.
And speaking of things we know that the Titans are going to have to do this offseason, that's replace Arthur Smith at the offensive coordinator position. Who is going to do that? Where do the Titans go at offensive coordinator? We'll discuss that when we come back. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.